Welcome back, everyone. Many of you, of course, were here when I wasn't, so thank you for being here when I wasn't. It is wonderful to have us back in this glorious place. Today marks an anniversary that is always on my mind and heart as we approach September. Today begins our third year together. You and I, me and you, however you want to put that. And you might remember that a couple of years ago, I suggested it's kind of like an arranged marriage. You remember that, as you heard here, that we don't really know what we're getting, but we have a lot of hopes, and we have a lot of dreams, and a lot of expectations. And I'm not going to ask how that's working out. I know how it's working out for me, and I think that's the best that I need to go on right now. So it is good to be back. Thank you. In any relationship, whether it be arranged or not, we bear the many things, sometimes with great joy and great hope and great love and all those wonderful things. And sometimes we bear things with great cost. Just think of someone who's bearing a child. There's amazing expectation, but there's fear and there's pain and there's wonder and there are all those mixed emotions. And so today, as we celebrate Holy Cross, we bear that cross. We are Christians, or we are at least in this place to worship God, whether we have a certain name we call ourselves by, Anglican or Christian or not. We are here for a reason, and being here means that we are participating in the bearing of that cross. And in that, we are finding transforming ways, hopefully, of being the church together. Thank you for the past 4 weeks, 5 Sundays. Thank you to Rob, thank you to Peter and David and all of you so that I could go and be refreshed and renewed over that past month. It's very important for me to step out of this community and see things with fresh eyes, both outside of here and when I come back. It always looks different when I come back. The last 2 years, I spent many hours before coming back in September writing lists. You can probably imagine me doing that, I suspect, about what I hoped and dreamed, or what I wanted to do, or what we should do, or what people might be expecting, or all of those things, and this year I simply went away. There is some grace in being here long enough to kind of know at least who's here, who I am in this place. And with those fresh eyes, I saw a lot when I was away. Many people asked me, what did you do? So I'm just going to do the back-to-school little chat here for a moment. I drove over 3,000 kilometers in Ontario. I spent time with many different friends, family, met lots of new people, and spent time on my own. I camped, I stayed in cottages and homes, I hiked and biked, kayaked and swam, ate and drank, perhaps a little. I soaked in the sun and exercised out all the kinks in my heart and body, mind and soul, and I did not worship in one church building. I worshiped in God's world instead. And during that time, I saw many things, all sorts of new sights, which I'm sure you'll hear about in the year to come. But most important, perhaps, I gained some more perspective for myself. You see, I traveled mostly, or partially at least, for that month on my own. And I never experienced any danger or any even slight sense of danger. I ate great food and drank safe, clean water during the entire month without even thinking about it. I chose to share what I do and believe with others at my discretion. One person I met in the conversation said, "So where do you work?" And I said, "At a church." They said, "Oh." I think they thought I was a secretary, which is perfect. Perfect for a priest on holiday. And if I wanted to tell people what I did, I had lunch with a priest in another diocese because a friend wanted to, and my friend said, "I didn't tell them you're a priest." I said, "Okay, we'll see how long this lasts." And we were to meet the priest after the Sunday services. I said to my friend, did you want to go to church? Absolutely not. I'm on holiday. Excellent. So I showed up at a church at 1 o'clock, which is rather unusual for me. I was admiring it. The priest came in, welcomed me, had no idea who I was, talked to my friend. We're walking over to lunch, and something happened. He was trying to explain to me about the church and what an Anglican church was, and I finally just said, Peter, I'm a priest in Ottawa. Oh, he said. So my perspective changed, and so did his. I got to go where I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. Freedom. Freedom is something that we take for granted, those of us particularly who were born and raised in this land. Freedom is something we've heard a lot about, or perhaps the lack of it, lately. I was reminded of freedom on my holiday this summer, and thinking about the freedom we have as a community to do what we dream. I live in a land where I can earn a living doing something that I absolutely love, and I always have. No matter what I've done, it's because I've wanted to do it, I've been very fortunate, and I have loved doing it at the time. I earn enough money to drive a good car, own a good bike, and have a 17-foot kayak on the roof of that car. I have camping gear and enough clothes to start a new stall secondhand store. And I have the time and luxury to travel. And when I'm traveling, I know that when I arrive home, I will arrive back to a lovely, safe, great home in a good neighborhood, in a beautiful city. Privilege. Privilege was the other thing I was struck by when I was on my holiday. 3,000 kilometers in mostly sort of Parry Sound to Toronto to Niagara-on-the-Lake to Lake Huron and back and across the midsection home, you see a lot of wealth. And you see a lot that is not so wealthy. And I was struck when camping, when meeting individuals, how much I have that I don't think about. Freedom and privilege are gracious gifts that are not to be taken for granted. Freedom and privilege also come to us from the cross, and we need to remember that for our hearts and souls, and we shouldn't take that for granted either. In fact, those two things call for responsible care and sharing of them with others, both individually and as a community. You cannot have either of those two things and not be asked, expected, responsible for sharing them. We bear responsibility here together in this place. The gifts of freedom and privilege call us to realize that we have the freedom to bear our cross in imaginative, creative, and joy-filled, holy ways. And that we have the freedom and the privilege to be radically hospitable to a world that often has forgotten what that is like. We are called to be shocking as the death of God's Son on the cross was, and the new life that sprang forth from it. Kierkegaard wrote, "Remove from Christianity its ability to shock, and it is altogether destroyed. It then becomes a tiny, superficial thing, capable neither of inflicting deep wounds nor of healing them." One does not know what it is like to be healed unless one has been wounded. Right, Alain? I see you have a sling. You will understand, if you have not before, that once you have recovered from something, you understand what the healing is. And so that shock of whether it be something bad or something good, something we share or something we keep to ourselves and it disappears, is something we must remember. We need to be open to new things which will be transformational, and we have the responsibility to share that transformation. I love it when Gordon gives me sermon things. Where is he? He's hiding in the corner having a nap, undoubtedly. And he mentioned the communion motet, and thank you, Gordon. You will hear it. Cross triumphant, cross transforming, ensign of humanity, faithful cross above all others, one and only noble tree, gracious wood and gracious iron, gracious burden borne on thee. What a mix, what a juxtaposition of grace and pain, of healing and horror, of our life and our death, all mixed into one short motet. Well, that was all mixed into one short life of Jesus, and it's all mixed into every one of our lives. And we have the opportunity to take that and to live with it, and to share it, to shock others with our faith, with our absolute radical hospitality, to shock others with the transforming power of God. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The thing I love most about that first line from today's reading is the words, who are being saved. We haven't been. We are being all the time. It's like when we say that God created, is creating, and will create. We have been saved, we are being saved, we will be saved, and we are responsible for how we live that out in all of those times and places. Today we will have we are using the New Zealand rite again for the fall. So besides loons, you also get to proclaim the affirmation, you are God. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You are with us now. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. Do we have the courage and the faith to say, and we are your people? In the midst of our privilege, in the midst of our freedom, we have much to share. We have much to be shocking with. And let the sounds of bearing our cross in joy and with imagination ring out as we share our abundance and our freedom with our world. Amen.